Hey, Upper Friday. This week, Apple had perhaps its biggest loss ever in court. LG reached a huge milestone for OLED technologies, and I, as it turns out, really don't like the One UI 7 redesign. Welcome to the Friday Checkout. This video was sponsored by Nebula. Okay, for my first story of the week, Apple had another loss in a US court, and this time it might cost them their complete control over their own App Store. A real brutal US court ruling basically stripped Apple of being able to charge their 27% commission to developers on purchases made outside the App Store, and it ruled that app developers should be allowed to put links to external payment methods without any punishments or scare screens. So in essence, apps downloaded from the Play Store in the US should be allowed to use any payment method that they wish, and they shouldn't have to jump through hoops like they had to before. What's more, the judge also said that time is of the essence to get the new laws applied, and so they made the change already from the 1st of May for a bunch of possible revenue streams. That was yesterday, so this is pretty much happening right away, which is crazy. Tim Sweeney and Epic have celebrated, of course, and they said that they'll put Fortnite back on the App Store after these 3 years of fighting. But wait, the whole thing actually gets even crazier. The judge on the case actually concluded that Apple blatantly violated her earlier ruling from 2021 and then covered it up and used tactics to delay things, which is why she pushed for such big and fast changes now. Also, they referred the case to federal prosecutors to figure out whether Apple committed criminal contempt of court. And evidence of this supposedly happening in court included chats between Apple employees about making scare screens and specifically about making things sound scary so execs would love it. The final quote of the judgment says that Apple thought this court would tolerate such insubordination was a gross miscalculation. As always, the cover-up made it worse. For this court, there is no second bite at the apple. That's a very poetic yikes and also perhaps the biggest court loss that Apple has ever had. Okay, for my second story of the week, LG Display announced some major breakthroughs in OLED technologies that they called a dream for OLED. Specifically, the company announced that it is the first in the world that is now ready to produce OLED panels with blue phosphorescence. This is a project 20 years in the making, and if you have seen my Tech Altar video on display tech, you might remember that this was one of the biggest breakthroughs that we were hoping for a few years ago. LG called this the final piece of the dream OLED puzzle, and as predicted, they collaborated with Universal Display Corporation, or UDC, who supplied the phosphors. Previously, OLED had red and green phosphors, but for blue, they relied on fluorescence, which takes much more energy to illuminate. And this is why the blue diodes inside OLED panels are typically much bigger than their red and green counterparts. But now the future is finally here, except with one catch. For now, this is not coming to TVs, only to smaller screens, and LG can only put it in so-called dual-layer tandem OLED panels, where one panel is phosphorescent and the other is fluorescent. This should still, for example, reduce power consumption by 15%, but it's a bit less cool than going all out. Okay, and for my third story of the week, we have to talk about Android redesigns, and I have a bit of a rant. So according to Michal Roman, Google will announce an updated UI for Android with more color and all kinds of things at Google I.O. in just a few weeks. And part of this will include a major overhaul to the notifications and the quick settings area. But also this week, Samsung actually beat its own predictions and finally brought its long-awaited One UI 7 update way ahead of schedule to a ton of phones, including my very own Fold 5. And I generally like the update, I guess, but the new visual changes make absolutely no sense, especially on phones like mine, I think. Everything from the app folders to the widgets is now kind of pill-shaped with massive rounded corners. This includes the battery icon, as well as their take on the dynamic island, plus also various bars, for example, for volume and brightness. Some people might find this pretty, and I guess it now matches stock Android significantly better, but I kinda hate how much space this wastes. These massive curves and all the extra padding that you have to add because of them all take up so much space that there's less room left for actual content. You can especially see this in notifications like this, and on my Fold 5, which is already super narrow, this is just painful. You can barely squeeze a few words into a notification, and then you have to switch to dot dot dot. And it's the same for widgets, where all the contents actually had to shrink into the middle and became significantly smaller after the update. I vaguely disliked when Google made this choice on their phones, but it makes even less sense for Samsung to do it on phones that are really narrow. Oh, anyway, onto the release monitor. We start with Nothing's sub-brand, CMF, announcing the new CMF Phone Pro 2, which sticks with the modular approach with extra accessories that you can literally screw into place, including a screw-on case, a kickstand card wallet, a lanyard, and swappable camera lenses. That's right, you can actually screw a second lens onto your existing one to change your focal range. Kinda cool, especially for only $279. And beside the phone, Nothing also released new CMF earbuds with the CMF Buds 2 Plus, the Buds 2 Pro, and the Buds 2 A to go along with the regular Buds 2, launched just a few weeks ago. Why do they need four pairs of earbuds that almost all cost exactly the same? I will never know, but okay. And also, if you wanted a $1,900 e-ink monitor that you can connect to your PC or Mac, your day has finally come. The Books Mirror Pro now exists, and it is a 25.3-inch monitor with a 16:9 aspect ratio and some not yet published refresh rates. Kinda wild. As usual, the links to all the products are down in the description, and we start our brief with Microsoft raising their prices for everything related to Xbox. This includes consoles, controllers, and games worldwide. For example, the Xbox Series S is going up by $80 from $300 to $380. The Series X is going up by $100 to $600. And also some new Xbox games are going to move from $70 to $80 by Christmas. And yes, the price hikes are global because Microsoft is the second company that I know of who's presumably passing on the US tariff costs to international consumers as well, so that the American consumers don't have to pay for all of it and have a massive sticker shock. I absolutely hate this. If I'm right, and if this turns out to be a norm, I think it's time to riot. Anyway, talking of tariffs, OnePlus hilariously announced the price of the upcoming Watch 3 at $330, then they hiked that to $499 due to, quote, market conditions, but then they dropped the price back to $350 due to presumably backlash and also changing tariffs. So, you know, things are going great and all the companies know exactly how to plan for the future. Now, actually, great news is that the Nothing Phone 3 will almost definitely be coming to the US, and not just via the beta channel. Nice. Moving on, we learned that Waymo will partner with Toyota on self-driving robocars that people can actually buy for themselves. Details are scarce, but that should give the theoretical Tesla Cybercab some competition. And next, a new report says that Samsung Foundry will be making some Snapdragon 8 Elite 2nd Gen chips on a 2-nanometer node. That's great news for Samsung if true, but TSMC will apparently also be making the chip, except they will be doing so on their 3-nanometer process, and if that's true, then Qualcomm will be going back to dual sourcing their chips, which is something we haven't seen in a while. And talking of chips, Intel says that they're rolling out new laptop GPU drivers with 10 to 25% better performance for their Lunar Lake-based laptops and gaming handhelds, which is pretty handy. You can't quite download the RAM yet, but you can now apparently download 10 to 25% better GPU performance from the internet, which I guess is a pretty close second. Next, in AI news, Meta will launch their Meta AI app in the style of ChatGPT, but it will also let you share your own chats and explore how others are using AI. Does anyone want their friends or even the public to know what they are using AI for? That seems like a really odd idea. Anyway, also this week, Germany announced that it is going all in on the Open Document format and Open Document standards to replace formats like Microsoft Word's Doc and PowerPoint's PPT. This should make it easier for various agencies to use tools like LibreOffice to reduce their reliance on Microsoft, Google, and co. Pretty cool. Now I'm just putting the finishing touches on my next TechAuta video that is all about trying out these open source and European alternatives, including of course LibreOffice, but also things like a laptop made in Germany and a lot more. As usual, that video will launch on Nebula first and should go live there in a couple of hours, plus there'll also be a whole second bonus video that will be a Nebula exclusive where I go a little bit deeper into some of the experiments. And then a few days later, the first video will also come to YouTube. So if you have Nebula already, you should be able to watch it in a couple of hours, and if not, now would be a pretty good time to get Nebula. I have tons of Nebula exclusive bonus videos on the platform already, and we also have loads of big budget Nebula originals, which includes documentaries like 17 Pages, which Bobby Broccoli has just announced. It includes comedy shows like the hilarious Abolish Everything. It includes Nebula making its own font and then making a documentary about making a font and so on. If you want more choice on the internet that is actually controlled by the creators themselves instead of some megacorp, then Nebula might be right up your alley, and in exchange for your support, you get a whole lot of extra content. Nebula is a video streaming service that a bunch of educational creators have built so that we can take our own destiny into our own hands, and so we can finance our way towards bringing you more and better content without always having to resort to advertising. With my link, go.nebula.tv/tfc, which is also linked down in the description, you can also get a big discount, which brings the price down to just $36 a year instead of the usual $50 that you'd get by signing up with a generic link. That is just $3 a month and a pretty big discount, so be sure to use my link, go.nebula.tv/tfc, or scan the QR code on screen to sign up, and if you absolutely hate ongoing subscriptions, there's even a lifetime option using that link. And once you have a subscription, you can even share that with a friend using our guest passes feature, so you can actually share your favorite originals with them. Nice! So check out the links below, and I'll see you over there.